Hello, everyone, and welcome to Your Successful Solutions, the show where we teach you how to make action your greatest habit. Today, we have Ray Higdon, a multi-million dollar earner. He's written several books and is on the Inc. 5000 for his network marketing, coaching, and training programs. You'll hear Ray's story, how he overcame some very difficult things, and is a great example of how others can overcome hard times as well. Before we get into the show, I want to give you some simple ways to implement your own habits. We can always improve, even if it's a little bit. Getting good at something takes time and doesn't happen overnight. If you want to start doing a habit, make it fun and easy. I also have my course on habits. If you would like to learn more on this, you can find it over on iantolson.com. That's my first name, last name.com. Keeping you, my friend, your host, Ian Tolson.
I ended up reading one of your books, and you had said that you used to buy candy for 10 cents, then sell it for 25 cents. And in your audiobook, you mentioned the kids would say, oh, you're that kid selling that stupid candy. And it was a general rejection, but how did you end up handling that and kind of internalizing that?
So that specifically, I just didn't see that as... you know, I'm making money selling candy. What are you doing? That's kind of, I guess that was my thoughts of, it's not very bright, you know, cause I was making money. People were paying for it. And, you know, that kind of rejection really didn't make sense to me. And I think that carried over into a lot of things that I did. You know, I left a corporate career after many years, and people told me that was stupid, you know, because I went in a totally different direction in real estate. And I guess I had seen at that point, you know, very different context. I had seen so many people that were in jobs that they hated and careers they weren't in love with. I thought that that was a bigger risk. It was a bigger risk for me to stay in that career that I now realize I didn't like anymore.
Okay. Interesting. And so when you were taking this rejection, it was more of an idea that you didn't understand where they were coming from type of thing. It's like what they were doing didn't make sense more. Is that?
For the candy, right? You're talking about the candy. So,
or just in general too, because you mentioned a couple other things where people told you that was a bad idea. And
I just, you know, to me, it, you know, I'm very much about being efficient. And if I'm doing something, it's because I believe it's the smart thing to do. And to try to educate everyone on why I think that way isn't very efficient. And so I just saw it as an inefficiency to spend time on mulling over their rejection. It just doesn't make sense to me. And I know, I understand that that is not how most people react to rejection. Most people are badly, you know, harmed by rejection. And so, you know, I have to kind of, you know, teach people how to get, you know, over rejection. But as far as me personally, rejection's really not really hurt that bad in these kind of circumstances. You know, rejection hurt when I was going after the girl in school or something like that. Like I could get hurt that way. But when it comes to business or career or making money or something like that, there's something wired in me that it just, whatever. I just didn't care about it.
That's cool. I mean, you have this whole book, Go For No, as well. I've listened to it probably 3 or 4 times. That's great on positioning yourself so you're not getting kind of taken down by it, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if you go through life, if you seek a rejection-free life, then one, it's going to be really boring, and two, you're never ever going to reach your potential or even a small percentage of your potential, because at some point you got to ask for the raise. At some point you got to ask for the corner office, or you got to ask for the shift that you want, or, you know, ask the girl, you know, that you want to marry or whatever. And so, you know, if you're just seeking a rejection-free life, it's going to be a very small and uneventful and boring life, you know? So You know, what I liked about the Go For No concept is just to get over yourself and the concept of, you know, why should I care so much about rejection?
I like that. It kind of saves you in the long run too, because if you're constantly getting beaten down by that rejection, like you're saying, you're not going to have that type of lifestyle that you really are looking for.
Yeah. You know, and it's, you know, how you process rejection is going to dictate a lot. It's going to dictate how long you stay in the game. Mm-hmm. And if anything affects your tenure in the game, whatever that game is, whether you're wanting to learn baseball or piano or dance or, you know, business or whatever, if something affects your tenure in the game, then you'll never get to where you could have been. And so, you know, you have to eradicate anything that's going to prevent you from lasting. And if you're beating yourself up over rejection, then, you know, you're just not going to last. So you got to get over that.
Okay, that makes sense. And is this related to the idea, I believe you said it's 90% mindset and 10% action along those lines?
Well, you know, it could be a little more complex than that. But it's, you know, most people, they spend the majority of their time not in action, but beating themselves up over the action they didn't do or the action they did, but they didn't feel was good enough because they got rejected. And so it is a mindset game, but, you know, you do have to take action. And so, you know, things aren't even with some people. So I have, we have an Inner Circle coaching program where I've coached coaches that coach some of our clients. And, you know, one of the coaches was like, Ray, you know, the big problem they have is mindset. And so we should just work on mindset and get their mindset right, then get them into action. That's actually impossible. You can't get your mindset right without being in action. And so you can't just meditate you have to be getting into action, because that's where a lot of lessons come. That's where you say, oh, you know what? I wasn't scraped or scathed by that rejection. And so you do have to have that action piece. Okay. And so, you know, it is, you know, what will keep you doing action is mindset. What will keep you in the game is mindset, and how you do things also, you know, comes from your mindset too.
I see, because you were making, if I remember correctly, was it 400 calls a day when you were doing, I think it was telemarketing or something along those lines?
Yeah, so when I was, I think I was 19, maybe 18, but definitely 19, I was working for a long distance company or a reseller of Sprint and AT&T. And I was making 450 calls a day selling long distance, which, you know, some people don't even know what that is anymore, because it really isn't a thing. But I would say at least 30% of the calls I was getting cursed out or something negative. And so you just build that muscle. It just, you know, that first, you know, cursing you out and hoping you go to hell, you know, reply, you know, that may sting a little bit, but when you've heard that 1,000 times, it's just not a big deal. And so, like, I'm very grateful for that. It was a terrible, terrible job, but man, did it build some muscles. And it, you know, it's had me, like, if someone is absolutely terrified of sales, you know, I tell them, go get a telemarketing job. They're always hiring. Like, people are always quitting that job. But go get it and just start crank it on the phones, and you get good at that, you'll get good at, you know, any kind of sales.
Hey everyone, while I still have your attention, go ahead and let me know if you'd like to receive my free ebook or my free coaching session on habits. It's right on over at iantolson.com, which is in the show notes below. And that way you can get either of those two things. It actually works really well if you read the ebook and get the coaching session, because it gives you a lot of the theory on how habits work, the way they function, and also how they can better your life. All habit changes are lifestyle changes. So it'd be wonderful if I could help you out. Go ahead and reach me at iantolson.com. and I'll be looking forward to talking with you. Alrighty, cheers.
It's a real small percentage of actually getting a sale out of those 450 calls then.
I mean, totally, you know, I mean, so I was making, you know, 450 calls a day, and that was 5 days a week. And so, you know, whatever that is, 5 times 9,
more than 4,500, right?
Yeah, so 2,000 or whatever, you know, over 2,000 calls a week, and a really solid week was 40 sales. Wow. So if you calculate out, you know, 40 out of, you know, 1,000, you know, or 2250 would be the number. So 40 out of 2250, I mean, that's a very low percentage, mm-hmm. but that put me in the top 2% of the company. Mm-hmm. And so like people will come into network marketing, reach out to 10 people and, you know, get all no's and think that that's terrible. I'm like, well, you just don't have enough data. Like you just don't, you just haven't talked to enough people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and some people reach out to 10 and get, you know, only 2 people said yes. It's like, it could be worse for sure.
Yeah. And I remember in the book, they talked about in Go For No that they would do, it was the accountant or something where he would take the beans and transfer them from one bowl to the next. And it was a real way to show that he, how much production he was actually doing. Did you do something like that or what?
No, I mean, when I got serious about network marketing, I set a no goal. So I had, you know, I had to get 20 no's a day. Okay. And which is a very intense number. Most people do not. In fact, 10 years of training this, I've had 2 people that I'm aware of. Now, there could have been others that I'm not aware of, but 2 people I'm aware of that went for 20 no's a day for over 6 months, both became $1 million earners.
Wow.
And so, you know, it worked for me, it worked for them. But people are, you know, they just don't want to do the work. They're looking for the shortcut. They're looking for, you know, how do I get more yeses? And in their pursuit of being so tangled up with rejection, time passes by, they go into other projects and they never really hammer down on any one project.
I see. And you have your book behind you, Time, Money, Freedom. With that, do you go into rejection on that, or is that like just specifically on those 3 topics?
I talk a little bit about it. I mean, you know, Time, Money, Freedom is a very different book than anything else we've done. So this, my wife and I, we did, and it's the 10 simple rules to redefine what's possible and radically reshape your life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my wife and I, Jess, we looked at our life and, you know, I went from losing it all in real estate. She went from working at a makeup counter to building a multi-million dollar business from home. And so we broke it down into 10 rules. And so we talk a little bit about rejection. It's not a, I would say, the key theme to the book. It's really on, you know, creating a life that you love and, you know, and having the, you know, freedom to, you know, spend your time and money, you know, the way that you want. And so we definitely touch on rejection. I don't know that it's a main theme.
Mm-hmm. And then you've also talked about posture being a really big thing. And you mentioned it in your books, and then also you talk more about it in your group, your Higdon group. Why is it that posture would have such a beneficial factor? And I take it this also relates to getting rejected and that kind of thing as well.
Yeah, so, you know, posture in this context is the belief in what you have regardless of external acceptance or approval. So I had plenty of people tell me that network marketing didn't work, or that, you know, I would never get it to work, or no one's going to buy that product, or, you know, whatever. And posture means I'm going to continue down this path, whether you agree, accept, or approve of it or not. Okay. And so everyone has posture around some things. They just often don't have posture around their business. And so they're open, you know, they're open to critiques and skeptics and critics and, you know, people telling them negative things about that thing they're attempting to do. Mm-hmm. But there are other things where, you know, you have posture around. So if someone came to you and said, hey, man, you know, I was on, you know, WikiLeaks last night and turns out electricity is a scam. Well, you're not for a second going to be like, oh, my God, really? Oh, no. like, ooh, you know, you're going to be like, yeah, okay, buddy. And so like that level of posture, which most people I would guess possesses right now around electricity, that's my level of thought around network marketing, because I'd seen it work so many times. I'd seen it work on, you know, we had a 78-year-old crushing it in Hawaii. We had a, you know, 18-year-old crushing it in Maryland. We had, you know, people that have, you know, were literally homeless that made it work. You had me, I was in foreclosure, became the number one income earner in that company. And so I'd seen it work for so many different, you know, walks and races and backgrounds and, you know, whatever. And so you just, I just have posture around network marketing. I know it can work if the person's willing to do the work. Most aren't willing to do the work. And if you don't do the work in anything, then you don't get good at that thing, whether it's ballet or little league or, you know, whatever. And so, you know, that's the difference. And posture is the one, you know, I had a lot of, I've worked with a lot of really talented recruiters, and I was a pretty good recruiter. And that is the one commonality. I've never met a solid recruiter that didn't have posture. They all have posture. And so they're all unmessable. They're all, you know, they all have heard negative stuff about their business or product or service or opportunity. It just doesn't affect them. And so those without posture just very easily crumble. And so, you know, when they hear negativity, they take it to heart and they waste time researching whether that, you know, criticism was accurate or not. People with posture don't do that.
Even if they need to question it in some way, because I've had it come up before where it's like, why is it that they view it that way? They just don't look into that.
It depends. Oh, okay. I mean, so there's a difference between if someone makes the blanket statement of network marketing doesn't work, or only the people at the top make money, or you know, those things are pyramid schemes or whatever, then the posture person just like, whatever.
Okay.
If someone said, hey, there's a lot of people getting sick because of that one ingredient in your product. Okay. They might like, okay, really? Let me look at that. Let me research that one. Like that's different. You know, yeah. The overall, the general hate, the general troll, they're not affected by them at all. The person asking a specific question, you know, they'll look into that, but they're not going to. So the non-postured person would hear, hey, I hear that product is making people sick. The non-postured person would say, oh, well, I better hold off doing anything then. And they may do the research, they may not. And people say, hey, aren't you still doing that? Well, I heard that this product, they didn't even look it up. And so the non-postured person is just like swaying in the wind. Like any kind of criticism will just blow, they'll just tumble down. And you know, there's a great quote out there. It says, no matter how hard the wind blows, the mountain never bows. That's from Mulan. But yeah. That's the postured person is no matter how, you know, how heavy the haters get or whatever, they're just not bowing to them.
That's good to know. It's interesting to have that perception on it and how the posture person and the top recruiters will act towards those types of situations.
Yeah. And I heard today a good quote from Kobe Bryant, and someone was asking him about haters, and he says, boos don't block dunks.
I thought that, yeah, that's clever. Nice. So it's interesting to like have your story of getting into coaching, because you said you ended up selling your position in a network marketing company. Why was it hard for you to do that? Because I know you had a solid position, but you were being asked by so many people. Was that the type of situation?
I mean, what was hard was I just, you know, I really loved the team and I loved our team activities. We had pool parties and barbecues and team incentive trips. And, but I knew that, you know, I never intended on building a coaching and training business, but it just kind of happened. And so I felt like I was doing both of them at half capacity. And, you know, and I, you know, when I analyzed it, like for me, what gives me significance is impacting others, helping others have breakthroughs, helping others create results. And so I asked myself, okay, where do I feel like I can make the biggest dent? And so I felt like at the profession level, I can make a bigger dent. And so that's when I, you know, made that decision and made that decision, sold my position and focused on coaching and training. And that was about 5 years ago.
Wow. What has been your favorite part about writing your material and all these books?
I've seen people process it differently. So, you know, Time, Money, Freedom, our latest book, has a lot of stories that I've shared over the last 10 years. And so there's definitely some new content in there that I hadn't shared before, but I would say a very good chunk of it are different things that I've just learned over the years that I've taught over the years. And yet we had some of our closest students go through the book and it really impacted them differently. And so I think it was a combination of, you know, putting it together in a resource, but I do think certain people learn differently when they're reading a book versus hearing a video or a podcast or, you know, whatever. And so, I think, you know, it's been one, I've had a lot of people outside the network marketing space read that book and leave us, you know, great reviews. And then two, just people just processing it differently because it's, you know, compiled into one resource.
All like the different theories and thought processes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Nice. And was there something that when you were writing that book that you really liked or thought was helpful for someone else to read? Or was it just the whole thing was like its own book by itself? I don't know if that question makes sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, we definitely think all 10 rules are helpful. The one that we've gotten the most feedback on is rule number two, which is called pluck your weeds. And pluck your weeds, some people hear that and they think it means just eliminate negative people in their life. And it could mean that, right? That's, you know, that could be a part of it. But pluck your weeds means for you to really analyze and go through your life and every aspect of your life and ask yourself, what parts of my life are incongruent with who I want to be?
Oh.
And so when you do that kind of analysis, you can do some major things. So when we did that analysis, we ended up selling our dream home to move to a neighborhood that had more kids and be closer to our daughter's school.
Huh.
And so, you know, if you, you know, really challenge yourself with, you know, checking your emotional responses to stuff and being an observer. If you check, you know, what, you know, how do you typically react to things? And is that who I really want to be? Or is it incongruent? Pluck your weeds can be a very, very deep dive into changing a lot of your life.
What else have other people done? Or have you gotten certain feedback from people that said, oh, I did this or I did this?
Yeah, I mean, we've had people that started like, you know, like actually going for a goal that they had. You know, like some people have had this goal, whatever that is, write a book, learn the harmonica, or, you know, run a marathon. So we've had people go after different goals that they had for many, many years because of that. We've had people fix marriages. We've had people fix relationships. We have a lot of stories of people who had grudges against their mom or dad or whatever. And I have, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of emails and letters of people who have recreated relationships with, you know, their, you know, parents where that didn't exist. And I have three examples of someone who, reconnected, all three of them happen to be fathers, but reconnected with their father who they hadn't seen in a long time. And then that father passed away shortly after.
Whoa.
So they literally had the window of seeing our stuff, reconnecting, dad was gone.
That's
awesome. So like, it was like, you know, that's very meaningful to them. And so, you know, we've seen a lot of really cool stuff like that.
I see. So it's kind of taking the thought process of acting a certain way that maybe you don't want as much, and changing your life around so that it mirrors more what you want to do with your life?
More of, yes, what you want to do, more of who do you want to be? And, you know, do you want to have a life of adventure? Do you want to have a life where you, structure things around your kids? Or, do you want to continue holding resentment against your significant other, and it's just the silent killer in the relationship the rest of your life? And so it'll challenge you in lots of areas of your life.
I see. What would you say would have been one of the more challenging things that you've come across throughout your life? Was it your time in foreclosures?
Yeah, I mean, I dealt with, I was in a very abusive home from the age of, three-ish to 12, where I was, physically abused pretty much every day. Dealing with, the thoughts of, why did that happen to me? Why wasn't I good enough to be loved? Why was I left to be in that home that people knew I was being abused? And so a lot of self-worth issues, and that's been the hard work that people don't want to do. And so that, for me, for sure, has been that. It makes everything else pale in comparison, because that's when all of our emotions are and belief structures are created, is when we're kids. And so I can, when I'm coaching somebody, I know that their business problem is a personal problem. They may be sabotaging themselves because of different self-worth issues that happened from childhood. They could be sabotaging themselves because they got more attention as a kid than their sibling did, and they literally feel bad when they get attention because they think it, they associate it to harming their sibling. Or people will sabotage themselves because they saw someone in their family make a lot of money, then lose it, and then they were ridiculed. So to avoid ridicule, just don't make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And so, there's so much programming that happens, when you're, a kid, that, not often, but always carries over in some way, shape, or form into your career.
Mm. And so when you're coaching these people, like for the example of the person who experiences feeling bad because the other person's not getting attention, how do you coach someone through something like that?
So it usually, what I, it's not, it's not an exact formula, but I'll give you one example of that specific thing. So she was, this client was telling me that, she was doing well in her company and her company wanted to highlight her, but she really didn't feel nice, doing that or anything. And so we found a pattern, that there was a pattern of her doing this, of she would do something until she was really good at it, and then she would go do something else. And so something she's hitting up against some kind of upper limit belief. And so, when she talked about, I don't know what's wrong with me. I think I need money mindset training, but I just don't like that attention. I said, did you have siblings? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, what kind of attention did you get versus your siblings? And she just started crying because she'd never put that together. And that's, I've had that happen, several times, where people just they're not putting together that those feelings and the belief systems they created back then has anything to do with now. And, Brené Brown has a great quote, and I'll probably butcher this, but she says, you either live inside your story authentically, or you work your ass off outside of your story trying to find your worth. And that is, I found, very, very accurate. I know I was absolutely doing that until I had these realizations and did the work that, you know, no one wants to do. So no one wants to do the 20 no's a day, but no one really wants to do the inner work of finding out, what is my programming? What are my actual belief systems?
Oh, I see. So you have this position of, as a kid, you went through this abusive thing and you were making actions to show yourself, like give you evidence or make it apparent to others that you were worth it, or like you had worth.
So my coping mechanism was to be very good at what I do. But one of the drawbacks of that mechanism is that I would only really go for it when I had people doubting me. And so I have all these different careers through my life where I did really good and then, you know, left and did something else, because I would just go just enough to no one doubted me anymore. And then I'd get bored and be like, well, why am I doing this? So that was my career. And until I realized that, and I'm like, okay, I can choose, instead of being on autopilot, I can choose to continue, or I can go to a different career if I wanted to. But at least now it's a choice versus an automatic thing.
Yeah. How was that moment for you when you realized that was going on, that you were able to catch that? Would you almost call it like an automaticity in a sense? Because you're like, you propel in a good direction and then you just like, oh, I don't need to do this anymore.
Yeah. I mean, it was powerful. You know, all of these breakthroughs that I've had helped me understand me better. But what I found is, the more I understand me, the more I understand others, and the more I can help them with their understanding. And so, you know, just from learning this stuff on how I'm programmed has helped me understand how others are programmed too.
Oh, I see. So in a way, it's been a great coaching tool in a sense, because you can identify it with yourself, and now you can identify that other people are doing something similar.
Right.
Huh. That's powerful. When, so I'm going to guess like that you've had those moments of tons of self-doubt and those very hard times that you've gone through. How did you get over that? I mean, it sounds like you used it in terms of going out and showing your worth, but it seems like there's minor parts to that as well. Like, I'm wondering what the in-between steps were for you through that process of being in a low place and then pushing yourself to that higher place.
Well, I mean, before I understood it, I just allowed people's doubt to fuel me. And, you know, like my programming was, I'll show you. Hmm. And so all I needed was doubt. And so, you know, that would propel me to prove people wrong. Hmm. And so, you know, it's not the worst programming to have, that's for sure, but it's still frustrating because it's programming. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some people, you know, I've had, you know, a client where their dad was so aggressive and pushy to try to get them to do stuff that if you don't want them to do something, just tell them what to do. And so there are people that they rebel against being told what to do. And, you know, that's obviously a problem, but the major problem is they don't even understand why they're not doing it. They're not doing it to prove their dad wrong, even if the dad has been dead for years. And so, you know, we build these, you know, infrastructures and emotional responses and addictions to emotions and how we react to things based on bad data that's no longer valid. Mm-hmm. So for example, last year at our annual event, you know, we had a lady on there and I was, you know, coaching her live, and she's like, I know I should do videos, but I just don't want to do videos. And I, you know, I just feel like I'm going to look stupid. And, you know, and I just, you know, just from doing this for a while, I said, well, when you were younger, when did you feel stupid? And she was like, and she said, she goes, well, you know, I've never thought about this, but when I was in high school, I had to give a speech and I really screwed it up and everyone laughed at me. Hmm. And so I said, well, one, none of them remember. None of them remember. And two, it doesn't matter. Even if they did, it doesn't matter anymore. That has nothing to do with what you do in a video on social media right now. And by you doing videos on social media, you have the chance to give your daughter a much better life. Mm. And so we're going to go to break and I want you to do a video.
Oh my gosh.
We go to break. We come back. Mm-hmm. She did a video and that video was fantastic. Wow. It was amazing. Like she did an incredible job. So when you help people become aware of, you know, why they're not doing something or why they're doing something, it really helps them get out of their own way. And so, you know, we've seen that over and over and over.
Nice. That's so cool that you're able to do that. Did you have someone growing up kind of be a mentor or a coach for you?
Not really. not when I was growing up, at least. You know, I mean, I was, you know, rough kid, hung out with, you know, rough dudes. You know, I left my mom's house at my sophomore year in high school.
Wow.
And you know, lived in a druggy house, and you know I didn't really have mentors early on, that's for sure.
Okay, interesting. So you, with what I'm getting out of this, it seems as though your life was positioned to not be in going in such a great way. Like you're
for sure. This,
okay. And so how did you overcome that? That's not something that I don't think everybody can do.
I mean, one day I remember I just, you know, this was, you know, when I was maybe 18 or something like that. I just looked at myself in the mirror and I hated what I saw. And I hadn't, you know, I hadn't seen my mom in a while, you know, probably a couple of years. And I'm just like, you know what, I'm going home. And so I just stopped hanging out with everyone. I got 3 jobs to keep me away from everybody. And so I think it's, you know, one thing I've heard people talk about is at some point you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that was me. You know, I was just sick of feeling like a loser and sick of, you know, just who I was. And I just wanted to change it and threw myself into work and, you know, and eventually found my way into, you know, better and better careers and to got me here.
I see. Just out of curiosity, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, did you end up graduating high school or was that?
Not on time.
Not on time. Okay. So
I failed English my senior year and I went back for summer school for one day and I just knew I couldn't hack it. So I quit. And then I went back the next year. So I was a 5-year dude. Uh-huh. And I, at that point, I knew I'm an idiot. And so I think I knocked out the entire year in like a semester.
Wow. And
just get the hell out of there. Cause I, you know, people were making fun of me and I'm just like, oh, where's that guy? And cause that's, you know, not a lot of people do that. You know, right. People drop out all the time, but not a lot of people go back and finish, you know, and mingle with previous years than you. And so for whatever reason, I did. I mean, I guess I'm glad I did, but
sure.
So it was a good humble pie.
Okay, nice. I'm just so fascinated with your story because I didn't know any of that or about any of it. And it's just so cool to see that you were able to overcome those accomplishments and get where you are now. It's almost like you're setting the example of saying, even if things aren't going your way right now, like you can change them and you can position yourself to put yourself in a better position.
Hey everyone, before we end off, if you enjoyed the show, leave a review. Good reviews promote the show to others and make it more likely for others to see it. For example, have you ever been on Amazon and you haven't seen enough reviews on something and there isn't enough good reviews? Well, in my own personal experience, that will assist me in making a decision on whether or not I'll take a look at it. In addition to this, If you leave me a review, I will give you my course on Habich, which I normally charge $50 for. My friend Mitchell is already taking it currently, and I'm getting good feedback on it. So you can head over to iantolson.com, take the course for free just for leaving a review, and you can send me a reply to one of my emails that you'll get from me, and you can just say, hey, I did the review, please give me the course. So looking forward for you to take a look at this and actually to see the course. I spent a lot of good time doing it, and it's been fully edited, and it's a really good piece of information. So go ahead, take a look at the course, and leave a review. Awesome, guys. Cheers.
For sure. The majority of people that find themselves in network marketing or find themselves in our trainings also didn't have the greatest upbringings. And, you know, and so if I was, you know, yes, my dad was an amazing mentor and I went to the greatest school ever, then, you know, no problems here, then, okay, you know, you can still learn from someone like that, but you're always going to have those, you know, skeptics be like, yeah, well, you know, so when they hear my story, you know, I hope at least, and I've heard that it does inspire them. Because, you know, I've been on, you know, the wrong side of a few things and still clawed my way to, you know, to create some level of success.
Wow. Nice. That's great, man. And just as like a final question, what would you suggest other people do to surround themselves with to create an atmosphere where they're more likely to progress in the right direction? Would you say like being a part of certain groups like Facebook groups or read daily or have a no goal? What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, the real answer to that is become the type of person that high value people want to be around. And what that looks like is, you know, I never looked for favors. I didn't look for handouts. I didn't feel entitled to anything. And so I looked at, if I wanted to work with someone, I asked myself, okay, what might they want? And what could I do to bring value to them to make them want to work with me? And so like, if you think more like that, you'll get around more high value people. And so like becoming that person that, you know, that you wish. So I think a lot of people, they are seeking support and seeking mentorship, but they're not of the vibration to attract someone that would want to do that with them. Okay. And so like, you know, I have people that, you know, I get every day, I get message on Instagram or Twitter, or, you know, all these places, and they'll say, hey man, would you mentor me? And, you know, obviously I only got so much time. I mean, I got my family, I got my business. and so, you know, I may say, well, hey, here's a video. This should get you started. You know, check it out. And often I'll get a, well, can't you just tell me? And it's like, so that's the kind of person that will never progress because they think society owes them something for them doing nothing. And that's just not how it works. You know, and so there's a lot of that in today's society with, you know, government wanting to take care of everybody and you know, whatever. But it's like, I would rather become the person. So when I wanted my upline to pay attention to me, I went and produced. I didn't go and beg. I didn't try to guilt or shame or tell them I'm disappointed you're not supporting me. No, I went and produced to get their attention. And so that's a very different energy than what a lot of people have right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when you're saying you're producing and things like that, are you even telling them I got my 20 no's today? Is that even part of it?
I didn't do that. Like for me, I figured no one cared about that, to be honest, you know? But you may have a mentor that would say, hey, did you do the work? Mm-hmm. Right. And so if I was someone's upline, and someone's asking me for time, I'm going to give them homework. And as long as they're doing the homework, I'll keep mentoring them. Me personally, although I would be fine operating that way as a, like an upline or whatever, me personally, I never reported into my upline. I just went, I did the work to get the results that would get their attention.
Oh, I see. Like getting rank advancements and products right. sold and things like that. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Oh. Cool. All right. Well, Ray, thank you so much for your time today.
Hey, thanks, man. Thanks for having me and some very thoughtful questions. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, man. Yeah, I definitely had a pleasure like thinking about all these things.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Well, I hope it was helpful and for you and for your audience, and really appreciate you having me.
Yeah, you're welcome, sir. It's been a pleasure.
All right, man.
All right. Take care.